Good evening, everyone. What is the awakened mind? What do you think? What is the awakened mind? So I'm going to share with you a little bit of my process of coming up with talks as we explore that question tonight. When I was looking for a topic this week, I had a memory of, I think, a made-for-TV movie that I watched a part of on the elliptical machine at the gym a few days back. And it was not really a memorable movie, I suppose, but you know, it was one that sort of touched me in a way. And in it, a high school teacher in a school for disadvantaged youth asked her class to read the diary of Anne Frank. And so there were a lot of, it was really, actually for all of the students, it was a very eye-opening book. Captivated the students' attention because, of course, Anne Frank was an age which was not that different from their own as she was writing in her diary. And the story of what happens to her is, you know, very, very compelling. It's very real, and it's a way of students, young people, encountering, you know, some very tragic history, but in a very, you know, kind of personal way. And in this, you know, kind of cliche, sappy movie, the teacher and the students eventually get the idea of writing to the woman who had sheltered Anne Frank and inviting her to travel to their school and give them a talk. And so the students go through the organized bake sales and competition runs and raise money, and the culmination of the movie before I got off the elliptical machine was that this elderly German woman shows up and actually talks to the students about the experience of sheltering Anne Frank. And one of the students calls her a hero. And she says, I am not a hero any more or any less than any of you are heroes. And she goes on to tell the students that all she was doing in her life was what they have this opportunity to do in their lives, which is to bring a little light into a world of darkness. And, you know, as cliche as it was, I mean, I found the whole thing touching. I wouldn't probably have remembered it if I hadn't found it touching. And so I toyed with the idea of this notion as the thesis or the theme for a Dharma talk, that in our day-to-day lives, how can we bring light into a world of darkness? And I toyed with this idea for about 15 minutes, and then I sort of started running the other way. Part of the process that I wanted to just share with you was why. So in a way, I believe that this thesis is true. I mean, all of us have the opportunity to bring light into a dark world. But it occurred to me that it isn't very Zen. So why did I think that? And why did I run the other way? Why, you know, sort of without contradicting in any way the beauty of this notion and the reality of this notion of bringing light into a world of darkness. Why do I say it isn't very Zen? So, you know, it's obviously, it is very dualistic. There's this notion that the world is dark and I am bringing light to it. As soon as we set ourselves up as a person or the person bringing light into the world, I'm pretty sure we've separated from the situation. I'm sure you've experienced a situation sort of like the following, where, you know, you're in a hospital room visiting someone who is very ill, and someone who knows them comes through the door. Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a friend, and it's someone who's very uncomfortable with illness or sadness or difficult emotion. And they come in with a big, bright, cheery smile and say, "How are you? You look wonderful." Person doesn't look wonderful. Person looks horrible, feels horrible. So instead of, you know, sort of entering the room and taking the temperature of what's going on and meeting that person where they are, they're trying to bring light into the room and kind of completely missing the situation. What if the person in that room doesn't feel wonderful? That person who was trying to bring cheer into their life actually probably made them feel worse. So that's one of the things that I think caused me to take this, you know, notion that I, on the one hand, is very beautiful, and kind of think it's not very Zen. And the other reason I think that I came to as I was mulling over why I sort of backed away from this particular statement as a theme was, what does it actually tell me about the challenges of how I live my life every day? You know, how do I deal with if I'm experiencing ill health? Or how am I dealing, how do I confront perhaps the reality of not having enough money? Or how do I confront the reality that I may be facing of dealing with a difficult person? Or a myriad of other challenges that may confront me as soon as I step out of bed in the morning. Does bring light into a world of darkness? Doesn't, you know, there's kind of this disconnect. It just doesn't necessarily speak to being present in whatever's going on in the world at that moment, which may be dark or it may be light. So it seems to me that, you know, what our practice is teaching us, starting with our sitting practice, is to be just to be present with whatever is going on and to respond from there. And this notion of bringing light to a world of darkness is adding something extra to the very basic, very fundamental idea that Zen practice is about, which is about being present and responding from that place. So, since that particular made-for-TV movie was not a suitable inspiration for my talk, I went to my bookshelf and opened a book by Edo Roshi called Points of Departure, and just opened it up to a little section that talked about a section of scripture from the Sutra of Perfect Enlightenment. So I eventually settled into this particular little koan as being perhaps a more suitable subject for a Dharma talk. So the translation that Edo Roshi used is the following. He said, "When you do zazen, do not search for the pure land. When you sit, do not seek for enlightenment. Do not try to push away the world of defilement. If you have delusions, do not try to distinguish them. When you do zazen, do not search for the pure land. When you sit, do not seek for enlightenment. Do not try to push away the world of defilement. And if you have delusions, do not try to extinguish them. Guifeng called this the deluded mind suddenly attaining realization, and forgetting mind entering awakening. So, you know, when we sit, we have lots of thoughts going through our minds, pure thoughts, deluded thoughts, whatever really arises in that moment. But we tend to think our delusions are bad. Are your delusions bad?
They're horrible.
They're horrible. She confirms my point. What about your delusions? Yakuan, are they bad? Very bad, right?
Horrible.
Horrible. Desires are inexhaustible. I vow to put an end to them. Must be something wrong with them, right? We chant that in the four vows. Second noble truth. Our suffering is caused by our delusive attachments, right? And aren't we all trying to find a way out of suffering in the end? Isn't that why we're here? To try to find a way out of our suffering and the suffering in the world? So what's this crap? You know, if you have delusions, do not try to extinguish them. Where is that coming from? And yet, Edo Roshi says in his commentary, our delusive mind is a manifestation of mu. Our delusive mind is a manifestation of mu. Mu is another word for Buddha nature. And Edo Roshi is saying, and this koan is saying, even in your most deluded moment, Buddha nature is right there. Even in your most deluded moment, your true self is right there. And you might say, in looking at these thoughts, I'm so deluded. And these delusions, I'm not responding to the situation. I'm selfish and I'm angry and I'm jealous and I'm upset with the way this person is being right now, and it just pisses me off. And I don't know how to deal with it. How can this be Buddha nature? How can these reactions, these emotions be Buddha nature? How can this be my true self? I'm supposed to be better than this. I'm supposed to be better than this. I've been better than this. I'm just not being very good right now. Right there. Right there is Buddha nature. In that delusive mind. In that striving for that better self. In that separation is Buddha nature. If we can realize it. And the fact that we're able to look at it is a product of our practice. Because we wouldn't even see that it was going on if we weren't sitting in Zazen. And that too is that consciousness, that awareness that we're able to bring to the situation is part of what it's all about. another translation of the same verse from the Scripture of Perfect Enlightenment, which is the one that's in the Book of Serenity that Cleary translated. At all times, do not produce delusive thoughts. Also, don't try to stop and annihilate deluded states of mind. In realms of false conception, don't add knowledge. And don't find reality in no knowledge. I actually like this version better in a way, because each sort of thing that it sets up, it then takes away. It first says, do not produce delusive thoughts. But don't try and annihilate them. Don't separate from them when they're there. In the realms of false conception, don't add knowledge. Don't try to sort of bring in, you know, all this theory that you think you've learned. But also, don't find reality in no knowledge. Don't think that somehow by just sitting quietly and tuning everything out that you've accomplished something. So, you know, it allows us to see, by taking away everything that we might grasp onto in these moments that we're struggling with, that it's not possible to sort of live or experience or realize Mu through words. We have to realize it by sitting, by opening our heart, and by acting from that realization. When we do that, we can only live it. We can't name it. We can't talk about it. We can try to talk about it. I'm doing it right now. But we can't really do anything other than point at it. And that's what this koan is teaching us, and that's why this original idea of, oh, be a light in a darkened world, somehow for me ended up falling short. So again, you know, what I always come back to when I've run out of things to say is the basis for this Mu, for this Buddha nature, is our awareness of ourself that is uncovered in Zazen. That's the basis for the whole thing. And I can't describe that for you. And I can't experience that for you. Only you can experience it for yourself. In the wholehearted way, Dogen has a name for it. He calls it Jujuyu Zanmai. So here I've thrown another concept on top of a bunch of concepts. But Jujuyu Zanmai is receiving the self and using the self, samadhi. It's being in samadhi as you live your life. Being in that moment as you live your life. So it's fancy Japanese words, but it's what we bring from Zazen when we get up off the cushion and go out into the world. Dogen says the wholehearted practice of the way that I am talking about allows all things to exist in enlightenment and enables us to live out oneness in the path of emancipation. When we break through the barrier and drop off all limitations, drop all thought, we are no longer concerned with conceptual distinctions. And Dogen is always pointing at this dropping off of body and mind. Jujuyu Zanmai. So, not producing, not annihilating, not knowing, not distinguishing, is forgetting mind and entering awakening. So, I encourage each of us as we get up off the cushion today to practice dropping body and mind and to be a light in a world of darkness. Thank you.